Okay. Hi, everybody. Hi. And thank you for rolling with us on the Monday night schedule. I can say that having been here both as a reader and as a listener while Stanley Cup hockey is going on the other side of the wall, this is much better. You don't want to compete with the screaming, but you hate to wish that they don't score for at least, you know, 20 minutes. Anyway, so I also want to reiterate, when Jimmy says they try to be inclusive, boy, you know, he is not kidding. And it becomes more and more challenging. There's so much great poetry in Pittsburgh. And so all of us just really appreciate what they do.
So just a minute, let me get my timer going here. I don't want to go over.
No,
there are lots of us. You don't want
this
to.
This is good cop, bad cop. I'm a good cop.
Yeah.
You can go over.
Okay, so I'm going to begin with a Pittsburgh poem that was written in the workshop. And I also want to underline what Michael said about the workshop. It's just the most congenial, encouraging place, and is also just really good for your poetry. So this is called Golden Gate Redux. The 10th Street Bridge in Pittsburgh looks uncannily like San Francisco's Golden Gate in yellow miniature. The architect built it as a trial run for the larger structure. I walk under it daily on my way to the parking lot, returning to my car after work. Who wouldn't like to imagine a larger version of their life out there somewhere, with this one as the dress rehearsal? I've only been once to San Francisco, on a road trip west when I was 18, when the guy from the band playing percussion in Golden Gate Park pulled me out of the crowd to dance. My friend Barb got jealous. It's true Barb was the better dancer, but I was a more expressive listener. After the design in Pittsburgh proved workable, they built the magnificent Golden Gate, lure for suicides and photographers. To my knowledge, no one has jumped to their death from 10th Street. Rust pocks the yellow towers. In the evening, the shortened spans fill with birds. I watch them shift and settle from my car in the parking lot below. This next set of poems is a little triptych. It might grow later, but for now it's a series of three. And I call it My Sentimental Education. The Professor of Despair. I want to teach anguish, she said. Old world ash against mourning in America. Rehearsing a scene from Beckett, she vamped in the discarded hat. Does it suit me, she asked. Does it suit? Later, she sent me a card. The suit makes the man, a painting of hats. I saw her enter the elevator, sharp in her Chanel suit. She was walking an imaginary dog. Good for thinking, she said. People see the leash and leave me alone. The absence-minded professor. Desire is born of lack, he said. Surrounded by an ever-repeating circle of attentive young women, he lacked for nothing. Thoughts popping softly like afternoon grapes. Caressing the smooth roundness of the pages, he broods over the spine's dark crack. Unarmed against the blackness, he absent-mindedly falls in. Third, a profession of faith. If you know nothing of Catholicism, I suggest you look it up, he said. It is the path to understanding, the fervent poet-priest who burned his early works upon converting. Raised on repentance and confession, I have no need of encyclopedias. I consider anew my public school fellows, for whom lamb is nothing more than gamey meat. Is this what all the torment was for? That my heart might stir for a word? Dappledawn. Falcon, Carrion.
So I too began writing poetry in a workshop with Michael Worster, in a class actually at the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts a very long time ago. And my first reading actually at Hemingway's was with the group of students from that class. And I heard an amazing poem that night from someone in the class who has become my very dearest friend. And this poem is in her honor. The name of the poem was Why I Knit. And all these years later, she continues to knit, among many other creative and artistic pursuits. So this is an update to that poem. And so this is called The Knitting Activist for Ruth Ella Hendricks. She sits and knits, every stitch a tie. The clicking needles move her mind down the track from oblivion. Across the anxious plains, she covers the distance with sweaters, the past safely blanketed in wool. Over, under, over, under, glorious babies arrive, grandchildren to fill the mittens, to sport Batman and Superman hats. She sits and knits, life swirling around her, Anna at the piano, regal in a softly cascading wrap. Over, under, worries fade, she stitches together communities. High school teenagers, even boys, ask to learn. She awakens what they have in them, cheers them as they display their handiwork to the world. Over, under, the world keeps spinning. In cities, she visits yarn shops, popping with color and possibility, forming a weave of memory, like the day in Philadelphia she now wears in Monet-colored socks on her feet. Over, under, the country unraveling, the old anxiety returning, she sits and knits pink hats for a new generation of women marching, a sister, a daughter, some fortunate friends. Take this gift handed down from grandmothers, and try to rebind the frayed threads of the Republic, arms linked over, under, over, under. With the sisters and daughters and mothers she has clad, she knits and knits, she rises. So, shameless commerce moment, I have a, see what you get. I have a book that was published last fall by Finishing Line Press. It's a small chapbook. It's for sale for $10. And a lot of it are poems that I have read here over many years at Hemingway's. And so I'm just going to read one tonight. And this is in honor of my father, who passed away about 5 years ago, 5 years ago next month. And so this is called French Lesson Number 8, La Phonétique. And it's based on this old trick to teach the soft French P, which doesn't pop like the English one. And you hold a lit match up in front of your mouth, and you're not supposed to blow it out. So, of course, I always pop right into the microphone when I'm reading this. But French Lesson Number 8, La Phonétique. Papa part pour Paris. Papa is leaving for Paris. Papa departs, softly, a whisper. See how the flame barely flickers. Papa part pour Paradis. Softly departing, leave a candle burning. Okay, and I just can't help myself. I've got another French poem, but it's not a lesson. This is called Bringing Up Bébé. The afternoon floated in pale urine. By moonlight, it glowed white while I walked the field singing Corina, Corina,
missing home seized my chest like a fist. Cezanne stared at the mountain so hard, he learned that black was in fact deep green. I'm trying to see truth straight on. And so next you have Jill Calden.